In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 1, we read this, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The question I have for us tonight is this. Are you a follower? Are you a follower? Now, when you read this text, you say, oh, yes, I'm a follower of God. But I mean a little bit as much as by personality. You know, some people are leaders. They have a lot of initiative. They start out, they take the initiative, and they don't follow people too much. They like to just go out in front and go do their thing. But there are a lot of us that are followers. In other words, we have the type of personality that we would rather do what we do with other people, and we kind of leave the decision to them about our choices of things that we're going to do. A follower is one that follows the opinions or teachings of another. A follower is one that imitates another. I've noticed observing people that have come out of certain Bible colleges that had strong leaders over decades. If they were under the influence of that strong leader for 3 or 4 years of Bible college, they come out and they have the same mannerisms. They sometimes wear the same kinds of clothes. They sometimes comb their hair the same way. And all that is that you've got people that are training who are followers. They imitate another. A follower is one who subscribes to a feed, especially on social media. And if any of you have social media, you know that there are those likes and dislikes, and then there are those who subscribe and they become followers of that particular feed. So it's important to recognize in yourself whether you are a follower. And to protect yourself as a follower, it really helps you to know of this thing about yourself, to recognize as early as you can in your life. Again, a lot of what we've been doing on Sunday night is addressing things with young people to help them stay out of trouble as they get older. We've just noticed a trend that there are people who will start out in church. They seem to do so well. They seem to have a lot of potential. And yet at some point in their late teens or early 20s, they go. And we're looking at this from a variety of angles. We're looking at this very circumspectly, as the Bible says, to see what is it in their makeup, what is it in their associations, what is it in their exposures that are causing them to stray. And one of the reasons that people will stray is that they are followers and they end up following the wrong people. You know, followers go along with the crowd. Followers don't initiate action. They usually wait till someone else initiates the action and then they say, yeah, that's a great idea, I'll go along with that. And so, generally speaking, followers don't make good leaders because they're always waiting around for somebody else to tell them what to do. Okay, so it can be difficult because they're a little bit unsure of that position of leadership. They're a lot more comfortable just waiting around for somebody else to take over and start leading. All right, so you know, if you find yourself tonight as a follower, maybe you haven't even thought about it. Maybe you don't even know whether you're a follower or not. But if you think that you might be, then I'm going to give you some things tonight that you can do as a follower to protect yourself from following somebody away from the Lord. I have in my mind so many people that I've known who used to be very active with the Lord who are not active with the Lord today. And I can tell you, for the vast majority of those that are coming to mind, they were led astray. They didn't necessarily initiate the action to go astray, but they hooked up with a crowd and followed that crowd away. Maybe it was a person. Maybe it was a philosophy. Maybe it was a group. But it drew them away. And so tonight we're going to look at some very simple things that you can do if you are a follower to stay out of trouble and to keep from going astray. The first thing is found right here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Okay? Be ye followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So the first thing to do if you are a follower is follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. That's what he said here. Be ye therefore followers of whom? Followers of God. Followers of God. Now you may think that that could be a little bit difficult to do, so we're going to try to make it more tangible for you. How do I do that? Follow the Word of God. What God said has been written down. It is in print for you right here. And you can follow what he says by this book. But in order to be able to do that, you first of all have to read it. And then you have to believe it. And then you have to obey it. Read it. Believe it. Obey it. Right? All right, if you don't read it, you won't know what it says. If you read it and don't believe it, you won't follow it. And if you read it and believe it, but you don't obey it, it's not going to do you any good to direct your path. And so there are people I know today that have read the Bible. And I know that they believe what they've read, but they don't obey what they believe. And so that's how they got off track. They are right now not following the Lord. And if you ask them, they'll tell you, I'm not following the Lord. And they'll say it like this. I need to get right with God. That's the term they'll use. What that means is God has said something in his word that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not doing this. So I am off track. I have followed something else away from the Lord, whether it's sin and lust in their own heart, or another group of people, or whatever it may be. So you read this and follow it. Now, here's the interesting thing. I've read through the Bible many times. Obviously, I study passages to teach and preach. Every day when I read the Bible still talks to me and shows me things that I need to do, that I am doing when the Lord shows me to do them. In other words, you don't get to a place where, like, let's say you have learned all the instructions for a particular game that you like to play, and then you just play that game. And you just keep following the same instructions over and over. This is a book that goes deeper and broader in your life continually, where the Lord is always showing you something else to follow in here. So in that sense, it's more like a treasure hunt, if you will, and the treasure is waiting for you on the other side of glory, and you're always picking up clues to follow to the next clue. And it's more like that. So there's always something to learn and always something to follow. So that's the way the Bible is. Read it with the idea that God is going to speak to you about something he wants you to do, and then be prepared to do what he's showing you in the Scripture. It's amazing to me when people are following the Word of God. You will pray before you come to church. You come to church, I'll preach something having no idea what you're going through, no idea what you're thinking about, no idea what you may be conversing about, and then you'll say after the service or the next day, preacher, this is the most amazing thing. The very thing we were talking about that afternoon is the very thing you preached on that evening, or the very thing that I had been praying God would show me, he showed me that day in preaching or teaching. It's an amazing thing about this book. So always come with the idea that God is going to show you something from the book that he wants you to do. All right, that's the first thing about following the Lord. And the second thing about following the Lord is to simply follow Jesus, who leads you through his Holy Spirit. Do you remember When you read the book of Matthew, for instance, and when you read the Gospels, Jesus shows up to certain disciples and he says, follow me, follow me. And then some will say, well, we're going to follow you. And he says, well, where I live, I don't have a, you know, I don't have a place to live. And they're like, oh, well, I don't want to follow you there. Or let me first do something. He says, if you're going to follow me, but it's not you first. You know, that kind of thing. Well, so you understand how easy it is in the concept to follow the Lord when Jesus Christ is here on the earth, correct? All right? And I say it's easy to follow. It wasn't always easy to follow him. There were times when he taught some things that were hard. He taught something in John chapter 6 that was hard, and a lot of men that had been following up to that point decided not to follow him anymore. And Jesus turned to Peter and he said, well, what about you? And he said, you're the one that has the words of eternal life. We're going to follow you. Okay? So follow Jesus while he's here. But now Jesus has ascended up into heaven. Interestingly, after Peter had denied Jesus Christ and after the resurrection, Jesus Christ came to Peter and he said, you love me? Yeah, I love you. Feed my sheep. Okay. And then John comes and he tells him what's going to happen to John. And then Peter says, well, and the Lord looks at him and he says, follow thou me. Right? But then he left. Right? But then he left. So there has to be some way to follow him, even though he is not physically here to follow. That's the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. Jesus Christ leads you through the Holy Spirit, and you can follow the Holy Spirit in the same way that the disciples followed Jesus Christ when he was here on the earth. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. We have communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so, listen very carefully. Get used to listening for the Lord, for the Holy Spirit to speak to you through his words and through your spirit. Do you understand? God wants you to be going in his direction. Be ye therefore followers of God, our text says. And you do it by the written word, and you do it by following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction to you. The Holy Spirit will reprove you. There are times, many of you have testified to this, when we've talked about witnessing or giving a tract to somebody. Many of you have experienced what I'm going to say, but you'll have a tract in your pocket or in your purse, and you will conduct a transaction at a store, perhaps leave a restaurant. You're walking out the door, and you get prompted by the Spirit of God to give that person that you were just associated with a tract. And if for some reason you think that you have to leave in haste and you don't do it, you get in your vehicle and all of a sudden there's this, right, prick in your conscience that you have disobeyed the Lord. Right? So you have a little bit of an awareness already how the Holy Spirit will prompt you, right? Will lead you in the things that he wants you to do. Listen, obey him when he shows you what he wants you to do. Sometimes what he'll do is he'll show you something in his words that he wants you to do or not do. Then you will be away from the Bible. You will be out there in public somewhere. And all of a sudden you will start to do the thing he told you not to do. Or he will not, he will, you, and so what we have to do is we have to, when you've read the word, the Lord has spoken to you, now you're out there, and the thing that he spoke to you about has now presented itself, something he wants you to do or not do, right then you're prompted, you want to obey the Spirit of God right then. And you get very used to that. Do you know why? If you are not used to obeying that prompting of the Spirit of God and following His words, then what you do is you get used to not following the Lord. And if you're used to not following the Lord, guess what? If you're a follower, you're going to follow somebody else. Jesus said about Himself, I'm the good shepherd, and people my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They will not follow the voice of another shepherd. But you will follow the voice of another shepherd if you're not following the voice of the good shepherd. Amen. Okay. So if you're a follower, follow the Lord and get used to following the Lord. All right. Here's the second thing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says this, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith, what's the next word? Follow, considering the end of their conversation. All right, well, I would be tonight, as an example, in the position of this person here about whom Paul is writing. And I want to ask you something. Considering the end of my conversation, some of you have been around here for now decades in this church. Many of you have been here for a long time. Would you say, you can do so by a head nod, that if you were to follow my conversation, that you'd be going in a good direction? Okay. All right. So what Paul is saying is, follow the right people. Follow the Lord, but follow the right people. In other words, if you're a follower, you're going to follow somebody. So follow the right people. Nothing wrong with being a follower. What's wrong is following the wrong people. So follow the right people. Now, Paul was not ashamed to say to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So Paul recognized, and he was a very strong personality, he needed to follow Christ so that others who were following him would be going in the right direction. And so he was not ashamed to say to the Corinthians, follow me, be ye followers of me. And the truth of the matter is, you can follow any person along the right road. You can. You can follow any person along the right road. I want you to look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a young man at the time that Paul wrote him. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and in purity. Why did Paul want Timothy to be that example? Because he knew that as Timothy would be going into various congregations and eventually he became the bishop of the church of Ephesus, that people were going to follow him. And in order that he did not mislead them, he would have to be an example in all of these things that he listed here. And you know what? That's okay. It was okay for them to follow Timothy because Timothy was a good example in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. If you're following somebody that's a good example, their good example will lead you in a good way. So that's okay. The thing that you have to guard against is following the right people along the road when they get off the road. And sometimes they do. I say sometimes they do, sometimes we do. And I'm going to give you a good example. Did not Jesus tell Peter, follow me? And did Peter follow him? I'm telling you what, Peter had trouble when Jesus Christ reproved him with Scripture. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Peter didn't do well with that. Smite the shepherd and all the sheep shall be scattered. Peter did not do well with that. But then all of a sudden, by the time you get to Acts chapter 1, Peter's standing up and he's quoting Scripture out of Psalms and various places in the Bible. And he's saying, we need to take care of this situation with Judas Iscariot and get a replacement. Because the Bible says, in Acts chapter 2, he stands up and he said, well, this thing you see here, this is that. And he goes to Joel and he starts preaching Joel and leading people to Jesus Christ. You say, what in the world is that? That's a man who's following Jesus and he's obeying the words of God, right? And then all of a sudden, one day, the Lord lowers this sheet down and he says, now, eat that. And he said, I'm not going to eat that. I've never eaten anything unclean. And he said, did I not tell you to follow me? He didn't say that, but that's what it leads to. And he says, I tell you to eat the thing. Don't call anything unclean that God hath cleansed. And Peter's like, oh, okay. And so he sees that three times and he sees three Gentiles. And he goes down to Cornelius' house and all of a sudden, Gentiles are getting saved. Peter was the first one there. But look what happened in Galatians chapter 2. Look what happened in Galatians chapter 2. So Peter would be a good man to follow, wouldn't you say? I mean, he's the apostle to the circumcision. God's surely led him well in Acts chapter 1, led him well in Acts chapter 2. Peter says to those that are telling him not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, we ought to obey God rather than men, and they don't despise the threatenings. He even gets thrown in jail and is going to get killed by Herod in Acts chapter 12. He'd be a good man to follow. Until this, Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, that means so there was a group that came from Jerusalem that were sent there by James to see what was going on with the Gentiles. Before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He said, well, I better not be seen eating with these Gentiles. No more bologna sandwiches for me. Because when they go back to James, I don't want them to make a bad report on me. Verse 13, the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. That was not a good thing. Peter was a good man, and Peter was a good man to follow, but not there. At that point, Barnabas and the other guys should have said, you know what, Peter? These Gentiles are getting saved. They've been eating bacon all their lives, and there's no reason for them to change now. So leave them alone. And so Paul had to straighten that thing out. So it's okay to follow a man as long as he's going on the right road. Just make sure you're following the right people. Don't follow the wrong people. If you're a follower, and many of us in here are, then just don't follow the wrong people. Follow the right people. Well, let me tell you something. Your parents are the right people to follow. When your friends want you to go this way and your parents want you to go that way, because they're the right people to follow. Your Sunday school teacher is the right person to follow. Your youth pastor is the right person to follow. Your pastor is the right person to follow as long as we all remain on the right path. And right now, I'm not giving you anything that's going to mislead you or drive you straight. This is good stuff right here. Okay. Follow, godly friends. Can you discern between a godly friend and a worldly friend? Is that hard? You know, discernment is being able to tell the difference between two things that are not the same, correct? All right. You probably pretty quickly can tell several differences between those friends of yours that are godly and those friends of yours that are worldly. Don't follow the worldly friends. Follow the godly friends. Same with family. Our family, I'm talking about my extended family, we have some people that go in the right direction. We have some people that go in the wrong direction. My children need to decide not to go in the wrong direction. Okay? That's the warning right there. Don't go in the wrong direction. You hear it? As the alarm is going off, don't go in the wrong direction. So follow the Lord. You do that by following the Bible and the prompting of the Spirit of God according to the Word of God as He is directing you in your life. Get very used to how He leads you and make sure you follow Him. Follow the right people. Follow the right people. The people that are going in the right direction will lead you to the right place. Bob Jones Sr. used to say the right road always leads out to the right place. It always does. Okay? All right, here's the next thing. So those two things. Now this, 1 Timothy 6:11. 1 Timothy 6:11. The next thing to do is to follow 1 Timothy 6:7. It's listed right here. Now, this is in the context of being led astray and falling into temptation because of covetousness and then the love of money. But Paul says to Timothy in verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness." Follow after righteousness. So follow the Lord, follow the right people, and follow righteousness. If you are, and most of you in here tonight are, people who follow, who read the proverb of the day and you've already read it, then you read Proverbs 11 today. And you read the integrity of the upright shall guide them, verse 3. And you read the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, verse 5. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. So when you follow righteousness, there is in you at this age in your life more that's right than there is that's wrong. Thank God. Thank God. All right, so when you say it is right for me to do this, but it would be wrong for me to do that, and you go out there in the world and you're following the Lord, but there's not anybody that's there in front of you that you're following, and suddenly this opportunity presents itself, you get to make the decision right then at that crossroad. Is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? Follow righteousness. At the Y in the road, one sign will mark wrong and one sign will mark right. And when you are in, when you have integrity, that is, you are a whole person inclined to go in the right direction, that integrity, that righteousness will guide you and direct your path. It will lead you. It'll lead you. And make this determination when you get up in the day. I am going today to do the right thing. That's my determination today. I'm going to do right today. And you know what that does? That eliminates options that are wrong. So when those options present themselves, you look at that and say, oh, that's interesting, but that's not right. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow righteousness. He also says some other things. Follow godliness. What is godliness? It's that which is godly. It is that which is good. There's a verse in 3 John. I'll just read it to you. 3 John 11, if you're marking verses. But it says this. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So you do the right thing. You do the good thing. So is this thing good for me? Then I should do it. If it's not good for me, whether I'm not sure whether it's right or wrong, but if it's not good for me, then I'm not going to go that direction. This is not a good thing. This won't draw me closer to the Lord. So as you go through life and you're following things, make that determination. Will this draw me closer to God or will this draw me further away from God? Will this music draw me closer to God or further from God? If I fulfill this appetite of my flesh, will that draw me closer to God or further from God? If I allow this thing in my life, will that draw me closer to God or further from God? And so you follow the godliness. You know, it's interesting how when, well, we'll look at some other things here that are in the list. So you have righteousness, you have godliness. Look at this. Follow faith, love, patience, and meekness. See that in 1 Timothy 6:11? What is faith? Well, faith is that we do that's not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Follow faith. You know, I thought something yesterday. It was very interesting. I was praying and reading through the Bible and discussing things with the Lord as I do sometimes. And you know, one of the things we have in our armor of God is the shield of faith, right? And that shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. All right, we are to follow faith. Faith is something that you follow that's not seen, correct? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith and not by sight. Those are, Bobby, juxtaposed with each other. Today only, one day only. You won't have to hear it again. So you know what that? You know what's interesting about the shield of faith? If you have trouble with your eyes beholding things that you know certainly are not right and good for you to see, the shield of faith. See that? Not seen. See that? The shield of faith will protect you if you put it up in front of your face like that. It will shield your eyes because we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, there are a lot of things that allure you in this world because of what they look like. It was when Eve saw that tree that she decided to eat it. It was when David saw that woman that he decided to call her up. It's the sight of the eyes that will oftentimes cause your heart to follow. And he says, let's follow faith. Faith is the stuff you don't see. He said, follow love. You know, the love of God will lead you away from the love of the world. He said, follow patience. You know what gets a lot of young people in trouble? They want what they're going to have later, but they want it right now. You know, if you're drawn by certain passion, when you marry, you'll get to have a lifetime of that, but if you're impatient, you'll go for that before you marry. It's not a good thing. See, it's not good. That would lead you astray. And so what you say is, I'll wait, because he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. So I'm going to be patient. I'm going to let the Lord bring those things to me in due time. You know, when the devil tempted Jesus Christ with all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, Jesus Christ knows, according to the Scripture, I'm going to get those 2,000 years from now. I'll just wait. Right? So follow patience. Follow meekness. Meekness, once again, submissive obedience. I'm just going to do what God says, and I'm going to take the things God gives me. I'm going to enjoy the things God provides. And if God doesn't provide this, I'm not going after it. I'm not going to covet things that are not good for me. I'm going to follow righteousness. If I have to obtain this thing without righteousness, or if I have to be ungodly to obtain this thing, it's not for me, and I'm not going to follow people that lead me in that direction. The children hear the song when they're growing up, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. They're putting something out there before you that you can have, but you have to do something wrong to get it, or you have to be ungodly to have it, or you have to be hasty to receive it. And he says, don't follow any of that. Don't follow any of that. Follow the things that are right. So follow righteousness. You know what this really amounts to? Some people call this convictions. Convictions. You ought to, at a very young age, have convictions in your life. I am not going to do this, and I am not going to do that. Rather, I'm going to do these things and I'm going to do these other things. And if I'm following somebody that's leading me away from these things that I am convicted that I will do, or enticing me to do these things I'm convicted that I will not do, I'm not going to follow them. conviction. And you get strength in that. So what do you do if you're a follower? Follow the Lord, follow the right people, and follow righteousness. It's not hard. The hard thing about following righteousness is following righteousness. It's not hard to know what to do. It's just hard to do what's right. And that's okay. The dividends are great. The way of transgressors is hard. Once you get hooked on certain things that you've gotten involved in by following the wrong people, you're going to find out what hard really is. Right? And doing right may be hard, but it ain't that hard. Because once you violate your integrity when following the wrong person or the wrong group, you might decide that you like what you've experienced and decide that you want more. When somebody says, you know what, I am not going to drink alcohol, but they go to a party where alcohol is served and one of their best friends says, you ought to try this. This is pretty good. And they get drunk and they say, you know what, I kind of like that feeling. You know what, you're going to want to go back and get some more. And the problem is you are going to then violate your integrity and you're going to violate your righteous convictions in order to go back there and get that thing that you tasted, that you tried, that you enjoyed, even though you know it's not right. The pleasure of it will exceed the conviction. And once you get a taste of the pleasure of sin, and you allow yourself to follow somebody who can give you what you want, you may end up with more than you bargained for. I want to show you what we're talking about. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and then we'll continue. 2 Peter chapter 2. You got to be really, really careful about who you're following. Yeah, and so follow the Lord, follow the right people. You got to make sure you're following righteousness. And I'll tell you why. The people out there, outside, well, there may be somebody in here that wants to go wrong and lead you astray. I pray that to God that's not the case, but it could very well be. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 18. When they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. So in here, when you get saved, you're clean escape from those who live in error. But if you meet up with somebody who presents this great allurement and appeals to the lust of your flesh and promises you, look at verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. So they say, oh, you really ought to try this. It's the greatest thing. And then you try that, and the next thing you know, you like it, and you say, I'm going to try some more, and then I'm going to try some more. And the next thing you know, you are a servant of the same corruption that they have sold you, and you got allured into it because it appealed to the lust of your flesh. Watch what happens. Verse 20, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. It had been better for them not to have known the way of, what's the next word? Righteousness, than after they have known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed are wallowing in the mire. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've lived long enough in the ministry to witness it. There are people who have sat in the seats that you're sitting in that have heard the preaching that you're listening to, who got enticed by those great swelling words and this offer of liberty and this taste of sin. And you know what? The condition they are in right now is worse than that they have never tried that in the first place. It would be easier to reach them with the gospel and the condition that they are in if they had not known than the condition they're in having known and turned away. It's worse. It's worse. Don't let yourself go down that. I'm telling you, that is a road that does not need to be traveled, and you can stay off of it if you will follow righteousness. Absolutely. And then I'm going to give you one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The word follow is not in this passage, but there is a word in here that is very important. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. All right, there's an escape from temptation that's offered to you by the Lord. So I'm going to say this. Follow the Lord, follow the right people, follow righteousness, and then this. Follow your escape strategy. Follow your escape strategy. All right, so we now have an emergency response team. As you know, for quite some time, we've had a peace officer that is here in the foyer to provide a level of security for us, and we have enhanced that with the cameras and also with an emergency response team. And this team of men that are in our emergency response team can help us in the event we are faced with an emergency. All right? And get quick response if we need to call for an ambulance or if we have a fire or some need to evacuate the building. All right? And as this team does more and more work together, we will enhance a strategy for what do you do in the event we have to evacuate this building? Where do you go? And how do you get out? All right, so there'll be an escape strategy. For instance, we've already put an escape or exit door in the nursery just so that people in the nursery don't have to go back and forth getting babies through the foyer and out the door into the parking lot. It'd be the worst place to have to take them because that's where emergency vehicles would be coming in. So we've got an emergency exit door. Now they can go right out into a rally area between the buildings and up in the front where there's good visibility and good opportunity for them to receive attention and protection. You know what that is? That's an escape strategy. So if we had a fire here or a reason to have to evacuate the building, out that door. And then there's somebody connected by radio, and there'll be another rally point. If you as parents had to go out these doors and be on this side, you wouldn't know about my baby. But the man on the radio would get in touch with the man on the radio and say, your baby's fine. Don't run through a harmful situation to collect your baby. Your baby's fine. They're at the rally point. Come around this way, go get your baby. See, that's an escape strategy. All right? And you have those little evacuation plans just in the event that there's an emergency. You ought to have an emergency evacuation plan in the event you find yourself face-to-face with unrighteousness because you followed somebody a little too far. You understand? In other words, you didn't think they were doing the wrong thing, but you got following them a ways, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. This is not right. We are going in the wrong direction. You ought to have an escape strategy because there is a way to escape temptation by God Almighty who is faithful. You have to know your own weakness here. You're a follower, and followers don't like to tell the people they're following, I'm not going to follow you anymore. But you have to be able to say when you recognize that the person you're following is going in the wrong direction, I'm going to bail out right here. I'm gone. And that's a hard thing for a follower to do. But if you have that plan in place, if you have that strategy in place that says, if I see this person leading me, like this, let's say this is a good friend and we like that, and all of a sudden we want to get together at some outing or whatever, and we're out together, and all of a sudden the person says, hey, I brought this book. I want you to see what's in here. And they open it, and you realize this is something that's not right. Or they take you to a website and it's something that's not right. Or they offer you something that appeals to the lust of your flesh that's not right. Right then you say, whoops, slow, I'm done. I'm out, gone. Not going to look, not going to taste, not going to partake, not going down that road. Not going to do it. You have to have a plan. You have to have a plan. What if the person, you know, and there are all kinds of good strategies. Let's say, well, I could start developing the strategies, and I'm not really going to go there. The idea is you have to, you know what, the best person to sit down with is your parents, if you're still living at home, and say, what do you recommend I do in a situation if I find myself here? Let's say I'm working for this company, and all of a sudden my boss says that he wants me to do something that's not in a, that's not right for the benefit of the company. What do I do? Because, I mean, I need this job. What do I do? How do I stand up for myself? How do I go in righteousness? And you develop the strategy. It may be that you have to quit. It may be you get transferred to another department. It may be that you blow the whistle on that person. You got to have the plan. You say, but I'm a follower and I don't take charge of things. But your righteousness will lead you to take charge of the things when you realize this is time for action. I have to escape. Because this isn't right. And the time to make that plan is not in the middle of the emergency. The time to make that plan is before it goes south. What if I find out that this young boy that I'm dating is not all the Christian that he led us all to believe that he was? Get out. You say, well, how do I do that? Sayonara, pal. We're done. Yeah, but I would feel so bad. Yeah, you're going to feel worse putting a ring on your finger and living with it for the rest of your life. For sure. Bail out. Bail out. There's nothing, listen, there's nothing wrong with being a follower. We need good followers. That's why Jesus Christ went around and found some disciples and said to them, you look like a good follower, follow me. You know, I've got to tell you what, there's nothing wrong with being a follower. There's nothing wrong with being a good follower. But there is something wrong with being a follower who will follow anybody. You have to have some discretion and discernment. Certain people are not to be followed. And this is where following that righteousness comes in. That's where following the right people. You get used to what it's like being in the company of the right people. And here's the deal. If you don't establish your righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness that you're to follow, you won't stand for those things. And if you don't stand for those things, it's like they say, if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. You cannot allow yourself to be a follower who will fall for anything. You have to stand for something. And you stand for the right things. And then you'll be all right. You'll be fine. And I pray that you'll do that. I pray you'll take to heart what you've learned tonight and develop your plan and get yourself strengthened in these things and make the decision today. When I hit that crossroad, because we all do, I'm going to look for the sign that says right, and I'm going that way. And I'm going with the people who go down that road. I'm not going with the people who go down the other road. Wrong way to go. And that'll help you. Amen? Father, we're very thankful tonight for an opportunity to be able to open the Scripture and be well instructed by some things that have been very helpful to us. I really do pray for our folks, all of them, young and old alike, Father, who benefit when we open the Scriptures and see these kinds of things. Help us, Father, to be the right kinds of followers, the followers of the Lord. And we ask you to do these things for us in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.